Well, yesterday we didn't know that there was a little league game in Williamsport. We found out. We shouldn't have went Route 15. Bumper to bumper traffic from the mountain down. I told Sky, there's something going on here. There must be a wreck or something. There's too much traffic. It's not normal. And when we got closer to the Little League station, then we realized what the scoop was. Preachers should pay more attention to the news, or at least watch a little more television. I guess, I don't know. I didn't know it was there. But it was there. Well, we did finally make it to Tina's place. We didn't have no problems after that. But I got to tell you a little something here that's kind of funny. I wish I could have had a picture of Scotty's face. They said they have a pet. Well, where is it? Well, her son picked up the back of the couch and pushed it forward. I said, Scotty, it's a boa constrictor. Let's have a little fun. So they got this little fella out, little girl. It was black with a white stripe across its back. A skunk. they made a pet out of it. Scotty, do you want to hold it? No. I said on the way home, Scotty, why didn't you hold it? He said, I was afraid you'd go pee on me. I said, they got rid of the sack. They got rid of that. Oh, glory. We still have fun being Christians. It's just every day you don't know what's up, what's new. I have a little card to read. Thank you so much for... better get my glasses on for that. For allowing or attending, I'm not quite sure. I'll tell you in a minute. Allowing me to share about my ministry with disciple makers, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you also for supporting my ministry with disciple makers prayerfully and financially. I look forward to keeping you updated throughout my ministry with disciple makers. Rebecca Lauber. All right. I think I got that squared away. Oh, choir practice after church today. All right. Okay, back to Amos, Book of Amos. If you're there, go to that Book of Amos. All right. So we had a wonderful day yesterday, didn't we, Scotty? Praise the Lord. Title of the message is Clear the Stage. I know that many times when Elroy's teaching, he says he's going to set the stage. And this morning I'm going to clear the stage. That's actually the title of the message, is Clear the Stage. Let's pray, Heavenly Father. Lord, I've looked at all kinds of sermon outlines, and this one stood out to me. And Lord, I took that as a yes, that this was something I needed to share. So now help me to share it in a way that will be simple and clear, that we can all get the message from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I think it would give great pleasure to the heart of God if we would fall on our knees and ask him what he would desire to see to be done in our church here and in our lives. You know, everybody has an opinion of things, and we'll never agree on everything. We know that. But I think it would really give our Heavenly Father great pleasure if we ask him, what would you like? As a pastor, I want to know what he'd like in this church. Because you belong to him. He's the chief shepherd. I'm just a spokesman. I'm just his lips for today. We've been blessed through the years at the ministry here. I think we have a wonderful accommodations here. It's so convenient. We have adequate classroom space. We have fellowship halls that when visiting ministers come, they say, boy, Pastor, this is really nice. I said, I know. We've been blessed. And I thank the Lord for all the gifts and the means that makes a beautiful environment for our people, not only for those that attend here, but those who will visit. Many of you have opportunity to visit churches. I think back of some of the churches I visited probably some 25, 30 years ago. At the particular church I was invited to speak in, it was a little different for me because when I got there, they were serving coffee and donuts. Well, we're going back 25 years ago, they were doing this. Now, if they were serving coffee and donuts 25 years ago, who knows, they might be serving hot dogs, hamburgers, and french fries. Hello? Are you with me? Now, some of you get the chance to visit other churches, do you not? Am I the only one that's seen these things? Could the church become a big social institution? I'm afraid that it could be. It could become a big social institution, something God never intended it to be. So as your pastor, I search and I say, Lord, are we pleasing in your sight? We have uplifting sermons and music, and we have meals and fellowship times we get together, and it's all wonderful and it's all good. But are we doing enough for his cause? I saw something in Lancaster this week that I got to keep with me. Work for a cause, not applause. Work for a cause, not for applause. A lot of pastors design their worship services to be sure it's uplifting to anyone who comes through the doors. Make sure that the visitors and the congregation feel good. Sometimes many churches become professionals at creating comfortable and pleasurable environments. What I was referring to is the coffee and donuts. I think the question that we need to ask ourselves, each and every church, are we worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Is that transforming us into his image? Are you every day getting more like Jesus? You should be, because the world is watching us. And what does the world see when they watch us? I hope that what the world sees is that lives are being transformed with power that does come from beyond ourselves. The greatest thing that I see as a pastor, the most encouraging thing I see as a pastor, is when people come into this church and I see their lives being transformed before me. I see the changes. I see the changes in your character. I see the changes the way you talk. And it's so encouraging. Every church should have that. Every pastor should feel that and see that. It's be an encouragement to them. But you see, without God's presence, that transforming power doesn't exist in a church. We need his presence. It's so important to have God's presence in a service like this. It's so important to have his presence. I told a young pastor that I've met just recently. He's taken a church here locally. We sat back there where Craig is sitting. We sat there one day. And I told this young pastor, I said, I think the greatest thing The greatest need for pastors today is to rely on the Holy Spirit. Must rely on the Holy Spirit. Because when you rely on the Holy Spirit knows what's in each and every one of your lives. The Holy Spirit sees you every day. The Holy Spirit knows what you're going through every day. The Holy Spirit knows your heart, knows your thoughts, knows exactly what you need before you even ask. And that's why I told this young pastor, you really need to follow the Holy Spirit. That is so important. That's probably the best advice I could give you as a pastor. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't follow your own leading. You know, after the Lord lays a message on my heart, then I pull the quarterly out. You should take your quarterlies with you. Take them along home. Study them. Read them before the Sunday service. Then you can inject things and talk about things. And if we don't have enough quarterlies, you just let me know. We'll get more. But they're you know, you don't need to keep them here. Pick them up and put them in your Bible and take them with you. Read it this week and be prepared for next Sunday. That's what I do with mine. I have pockets all over in this Bible. I can't find most of the stuff because of too many pockets. But I do that. But after the Lord lays something on my heart and I study it and prepare the message, then after I know what God wants me to say, I usually then pick this up because I don't want to be affected by anything else. And 9 times out of 10, it's exactly or almost close exactly what's already been scheduled for the quarterly, what the Lord laid on my heart. Now the Sunday school lesson today was basically real and sincerity. Being real and being sincere. How much more can I tell you than when you're worshiping, you need to be real and sincere. See, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make them. Yeah, that's right. You can't make people worship. Worship must come from the heart. I'm glad I'm here today. I love Jesus. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that if this ticker stops and you see me fall over on the stage this morning, don't you worry about me. I know where I'm going. I'm heaven bound. Sudden death is sudden glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Sudden death is sudden glory. You need to be so the same. Nothing moves you. Nothing worries you. Did you hear what they were singing about? You don't need to worry. One of the devotionals this week had to do with that very thing. What one of you, by worrying or thinking, you can add 1 inch to your stature? Boy, you can think and worry about that all you want, and you're going to be the same size when you come in here, and you'll be the same size when you leave. Huh? No matter of thinking, no matter of worrying, can change any of that. Jesus said, haven't you noticed the birds? Haven't you noticed that they don't need to worry about food? The food is provided for them in the creation. He has created all the animals to take care of themselves. They've all been provided with food. Are you not more important than they? Is that what it says? Are you not more important than they? Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask. So why worry about those things? When you're here, and you're here on a Sunday morning, the only thing you need to do is forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about what he or she's doing. Be more concerned about what you're doing. There's curtains on the windows. You know why the curtains are on the windows? You know why church glass is frosted and colored? You know why? No distractions. We don't want any distractions. We want to clear the stage. When our church members left the church down here at the end of the road, pitcher, they wouldn't allow them to have the pitcher. Is that right, Robert? The Methodist organization will not allow you to have the pitcher. So then another group of people moved into the church, and you know how the Lord works things out? They didn't want it. Come get it. See how the Lord works. They didn't want it. Come get it. And that's why it's back there today. We have it back there. Because we want to clear the stage. We don't want to have any distractions if we can do that. No distractions. Because you're here to concentrate on Him. Not this frame. But Him. The scriptures filled with cautions about empty worship. The Lord had warned His prophets and His priests, "You've healed the wounds of your people, but only superficially. You made them feel good for the moment. They forgot about their struggles for the moment. But you planted false hope in them." It seems like many churches today have a lot to do with positive thinking. We've exchanged God's word for positive thinking. We want people to feel better. If we offer nothing that Tony Robbins or Oprah Winfrey can't, you listening to me? They try to make people feel good. But you see, church isn't about what you and I can do. It's about what Christ has already done. The relationships that we build here are wonderful and good, but we don't want to build a social center. The church is God's house. And when we gather in His name, He marks it with His presence. Are you hearing me? God's presence is what makes it different. So when those who come through the door who don't know anything about Jesus can sense and feel His presence. I can't explain it, they might say, but I know there's something different in this place. You've heard it said by those that pass through and minister here. They say, you got something good here. When we have anointing and the people come up here and these visiting singers see this, it speaks to their hearts. Did you ever see their tears run? It even speaks to their hearts. Gospel Bond told me that many times when they were here. Brother David Park says, "Brother Roger, don't you ever stop what's going on here. Don't ever quit that." He said, "We get to minister in a lot of churches, but very few like yours." Oh, I said, "Brother, it's not mine. It's His." "Well," he says, "I know, but it's not mine. It's His. It's His. To Him be the glory. Great things you have done. Marvelous things He has done. Surely He is in this place." According to Paul, God's presence should be central in our worship, so that when that unbeliever walks in, he falls to his knees crying, "Surely God is in this place." The book of Revelation gives us powerful images of angels that are worshiping in God's presence. They cover their faces as they fall before Him, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." You see, these powerful beings that God has created, they clear the stage in heaven for the one who's high and lifted up and rightly exalted as the name above all names. God's presence is meant to bring a light to our eyes. God's presence shows us the difference between the wheat and the chaff in our lives. It's why God's word is a refining fire, because it purifies. It's also referred to as a sword, an instrument that pierces and cuts, used to separate and to divide the pure from the impure. Now, these aren't pleasant things, and sometimes in our lives we'll find we're not always comfortable. In fact, sometimes we become very uncomfortable. And so we naturally try to resist them. We cry for comfort and pleasure in our life, our job and our pursuits in our life and our home. And as the Bible says, our hearts are inclined to cry, speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10. And I can tell you that the material world around us is always waiting to meet your needs, but only Jesus can satisfy your needs. The world will offer you all kinds of things, but only Jesus can satisfy you. Well, only Jesus can bring satisfaction in your life. I think about lots of godly people that started out godly in their life, and they looked to the world, and the world offered them many things. I think about Elvis Presley. Came from a Christian home. His heart was to sing gospel music. When he came home from concerts, he would get the fellows together and they'd sing gospel music. But I saw a man who tried to live two lives. And so he took drugs. Finally ended up, the drugs took him. He tried to live two lives. You can't have two masters. You got to make up a decision which one you want to follow. No man can serve two masters. God's first commandment is, you will have no other gods before me. The word that's used there for before means in my presence. God is saying, don't bring any gods into my presence. Your idols of pleasure, your ambition, your human abilities, I won't abide in any of it. God is calling us to clear the stage that Christ may be central once and for all. The first place that God wants to clear the stage, I believe, is in our worship. How many of you ever watched a TV show, The Voice? Are you familiar with The Voice? The show has a panel of judges. They keep their backs turned so that they can't see the performer. Their only standard for what they hear is, do I like what I hear? If they do, they push a buzzer and their chair turns around. Are you familiar with it? I just remind you of what that is. I can tell you there's only one standard that many Christians bring into their church worship. And the problem is, they say, do I like it? It doesn't matter where you like it. It matters, does God like it? Is God in this place? For many years, a debate has been waged over which honored God more, the old hymns or contemporary music? Of course, the answer is neither one. Neither one. We have one standard in worship. The hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father, and this is a wonderful phrase, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Did you catch that? The Father is seeking. Are you willing to worship him? In spirit and truth. What's the truth? Well, you see, the Lord sees everything in your life. You come here and you say, oh, Lord, you're the greatest one. But yet, if something else shows up, hey, I'll be right over. You see, God sees your heart. He knows whether you're lying or you're telling the truth. Where's your love today? Oh, I love Jesus, really. Are you sure? Is there other loves that it's greater? Think about it. Examine yourself. The law father is seeking such that will worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And so, like the judges on The Voice, we want to be entertained rather than to bow in worship. And when I say bowing, I don't just mean physically on our knees. I'm talking about we can bow in our hearts. Do you know that in many churches across the land today, they have special lighting? They have smoke machines? They have choreographed worship teams. Are you aware of that? I am. Do you know that they have actual worship teams that they practice? And they'll run up and down the aisles of the church with a Christian flag, all part of a worship service. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they do that. There's many churches that have that. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of this. I'm just telling you that, are we still preaching the Christ, the cross, Jesus' resurrection? Where is our focus? We need to sometimes clear the stage and get rid of all the other stuff and make sure that this is all that's on the stage. This is our focus. Heaven bound. And I remember the cross. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. You know, this church culture we've all created because we demand entertainment. We want our worship leaders to be pop stars. Did you know that church music isn't any different than any other music? Worship music has its own seller charts on iTunes and billboards. Did you know that a composer or performer of worship songs can swipe a screen to find out where he or she ranks in popularity? But you see, God's presence has nothing to do with anybody's popularity. He is present with those who seek him with all their heart. He is present. In many churches today, people are being drawn away from true worship by a spirit that isn't God. There'll be more of that as the day approaches. You know what I picture in the future? I picture many churches getting empty and more people watching their church services at home, either by way of TV or internet. I had opportunity to go to Lancaster for a few days. I went to the outlets, what you call the outlets, or what we would call mall. Many of the stores are closed. In a mall of maybe 30 stores, there's probably 15 of them, at least half of them are gone. Why? I think eventually you're going to see them all gone. I think you're not going to hear of a mall anymore where people just go and walk around. There won't be no malls. First of all, the storage rent is way too expensive. You can't afford it. You can't afford those spots. And now you can order anything online and have it delivered to your house. So the way of the malls will be gone. I hope it's not that way with churches. As we've gathered here together and we can hold hands and pray for one another, I always look forward to it. But the future's not ours to worry about. Jesus is already there. So I want you to consider a verse from an old hymn. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me, who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? You see, I believe this is the worship that's due to our Heavenly Father. Lord, you're bigger, you're grander, you're greater, you're more glorious than anything known to man, and we bow in reverence before you. I hope you don't think I'm just some old guy who longs for old school worship. I want to tell you that I've heard some beautifully deep songs from young writers that send me to my knees. I'm able to worship in any environment, with any style of music. I know that I'm in God's holy presence. God told the prophet Amos, I hate and despise your feasts. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Take away me the noise of your songs and the melody of your harps. I won't listen. But he said, let justice roll down like water and righteousness like everlasting stream. What God is saying to every generation, it's not the song or the sound that I seek. It is the righteousness that flows from your worship and the deeds that stirs you to do in my name. You see, we don't measure a song's power by whether it entertains or any other man-made way of measuring it. We measure it as to whether it calls forth what the Holy Spirit wants for us in the body of Christ in that moment. Our worship is to be an ever-flowing stream of his righteous presence. And God calls pastors and lay people to clear the stage as well. How's God leading? We need to clear the stage of those things that would be distractions in our worship. Our congregations don't need consultants. They need men and women who know God. It's time to clear the stage in any of our mindset. Many times we rush too quickly to the boardroom and ignore the prayer room. So in closing, God's people that need to seek the truth say that is when our joy will return. Now get this, our purpose will return, our mission will be clear, and we'll be able to testify with Jeremiah, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart in Jeremiah 15 and 16. And then when a stranger enters these doors and he falls on his face, he'll realize that he's found the answer that he has hungered for his whole life. And surely he'll cry and say, surely God is in this place. May it be so. Lord Jesus, would you all stand? Oh, thank you, Lord, for this message today. It really spoke to my heart and allowed me to do some soul searching. Lord, I want this place to be your presence. I want everyone who comes in these doors to feel your presence, to have your presence in their life, to feel the Holy Spirit working in their life, and know that there's a change that's taking place. Transformation is taking place in their lives and mine as well. Lord, let them sense and feel your presence in a very special way. And more, Lord, that they'll never be the same from this day forward. Let your presence go with us, Lord, each and every day. And thank you, Father, for the word that spoke to my heart today, for your word that has been shared with your people today. Father, it's time to go home. Give us a wonderful and a good and a safe week and a prosperous week for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.